The pandemic has impacted everyone in different ways. Stress and anxiety have been on the rise, so there's no doubt that the people of Perth could do with some laughter therapy. Let's take a break from all the chaos. Lockdown is over. We can finally laugh together again. Can We Laugh Again is a night of comedy and entertainment you don't want to miss. The lineup of local and internationally touring comedians, including MC John Binder, Jason Wood, and many others, is going to be a reckless amount of fun. To top it all, the night will be headlined by none other than the sensational Emo, winner of the 2018 State Raw competition. After a full run of sold-out shows around WA, there is no doubt these tickets will move quick, so don't wait. Emo has been very good to talk to us and tell us a little about his show. He has made a name for himself in Perth since 2016, developing his style and strong local following. Good day, Emo, and welcome to the Perth Art and Entertainment website.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Now, you have won a lot of competitions during this time that you've been practicing comedy. Do you put this down to sheer luck or absolute brilliance?
Not that I don't believe in luck, but of course hard work always pays off. So yeah, I wouldn't put it towards luck. I definitely work towards getting to where I am right now.
Okay, now let's start at the very beginning. What made you decide to pursue a career in comedy, knowing the pitfalls of such an insecure profession?
My hate for laboring.
Sorry, you're what?
My hate for labor work.
So you don't like manual work, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't like to sweat for my money. I think my brain is a lot better of a key to use, in order to gain my crust. But I've always been a fan of making people laugh anyway. So it was only fitting that I did something that I enjoyed doing, and also that brought joy to others as well as I'm doing it.
Now, I did read somewhere that as a kid you were the clown class. A class clown, sorry.
The class clown?
Yeah. How did this
Yeah, I was.
translate into making you such a comedic success?
Well, after hearing it from as early as I can remember, like Emo, you should be a comedian. You're so funny. You're the funniest guy I know. Emo should be a comedian. After hearing it so many times, it was only fitting, right? That I even gave it a shot, and the fact that it actually worked out was even better. So, it was more so because I heard so much about I should be a comedian. You're the funniest person I know. I then decided that I didn't decide I was going to be a comedian, but I decided I was going to give it a shot.
Now, talk to us about your journey from war-torn Sudan to beautiful Australia, the lucky country.
So 1996, we were sponsored by a Christian organization called the Edmund Rice Center, and they sponsored us over to Australia. So that's when we came here in 1996. But I was initially born in Ethiopia, in a refugee camp, but then war broke out there, and then we migrated to another refugee camp in Kenya. And yeah, 1996 we moved to Australia. It's been great ever since.
And have you came out with your family? I think you had a family of five. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. A family of five, which consists of my mother and my father, and my sister and my brother and myself.
And all of you all are in Australia at the moment?
My brother's moved back to Africa, but I do have two other sisters that were born here in Australia since we migrated.
Oh, okay.
We are all here, but my brother.
Now, your very first attempt at comedy was with your childhood friend Joe White at the 2018
Yep.
Perth Fringe Festival, where you received rave reviews. Talk to us about that experience.
So my boy Joe White had been trying to get me to do comedy for a little while now, and 2016 I had did my first stand up open mic night, and for another whole year I didn't do anything because it was too hard to get bookings. No one wanted to share that information, and Joe hit me up in 2017 in November and asked me if I'd be interested to do a split bill for Fringe. So then we did the split bill, and yeah, because the fact that it was my first ever like half hour, so we did a whole hour show. I did half an hour, he did half an hour. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great reviews, great turnout. I got the bug from that, so.
And you've never looked back, I presume.
I have never looked back. If anything, I aim higher to get more accolades in this comedy game that we're in.
Fantastic. You are now the promoter and main star of this new show, Can We Laugh Again? Talk to us about the show.
So Can We Laugh Again, in terms of me being the promoter, so there was a lack of shows in Perth. And I didn't want to wait for other people to create opportunities for myself. So I started running my own shows. And from that, there was quite a bit of a buzz and great turnout. We sold out most of our runs. So a friend of mine, Joe White's sister actually, Elsa, I got a random message in the morning one day, and she sent me a photo of the Heath Ledger State Theatre, and she had captioned, "You should do a show here." I thought that was far-fetched. I wasn't ready for theatre shows, but look, 1 month later, I had signed the contract and signed all the comedians for that show.
Fantastic. Now, your media release talks about a whole lot of local artists who have performed overseas. Tell us a little about
Yep.
each of these performers.
Each of those performers?
Mm-hmm.
So two of them are secret guests.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I'm not going to mention who they are. But in terms of comedians that performed overseas, Simone Springer has performed in America. I think San Diego and Los Angeles. Myself, I performed at the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal. I've done some rooms in New York as well. The two secret guests have done shows overseas. Both of them have both done shows overseas, opening up for some big names, which I can't release, otherwise it will give away who it is that I'm talking about. But yeah, everyone's got accolades and they're all touring comedians.
Now, what sort of experiences inspire you to write about them?
About them or about my jokes?
No, what sort of experiences, what sort of situations motivate you to write about them?
Well, every one of my jokes come from somewhere. So when I speak about my kids, I'm a father of three. Every one of those jokes come from somewhere, from a place. And then I would say that 80% true. Obviously, you add your comedic relief to it. But, yeah, I speak about it every day. If I walked up down the street to the supermarket and something funny happened, then that's a joke. Like,
right.
I might possibly use it on one of my open mic nights to test it out. If it works out well, then I add that to my one-hour special, which I do every year for Fringe.
Now, you said you're a father of three. You look like a young boy. My God, how old are you?
Yeah, I know. I'm 32 years old, but black don't crack. I'm still getting asked for ID everywhere I go, even by people with braces. It's like, are you old enough to serve me? Yeah.
Okay. That's wonderful.
I definitely got those genes from my parents.
Okay, that's fantastic. Now, what sort of comedian are you? An improvisation artist that draws inspiration from your audience, or a comedian that prefers to work from a script?
Well, I do a lot of crowd work. I've been doing a lot of crowd work as of recently. But obviously, like in this profession, you don't want to come ill-prepared. So I'm always prepared for each show. I practice, I rehearse. But
okay.
Obviously with the crowd, but there's always going to be a different crowd wherever you perform. So there might be a woman with a big tall hat in the front row. I'm gonna have to identify that and speak about that. There might be someone speaking in the back. I'll improvise that into my show. Like it's not 100% scripted work. Like I use what's around me as my tools.
Have you ever experienced heckling?
Yeah, you get hecklers all the time. But like overall, they usually add to the show. You'd rather you don't have hecklers, but yeah, they usually add to the show. There's always going to be some funny bits in there when you're communicating with people. Like I like to talk to people at my shows anyway, whether on or off stage. So yeah, it's fine.
How do you handle hecklers?
Politely. Politely.
Have you never had to throw a heckler out of the room?
No, I have not. I have not had that experience where I've had to throw a heckler out of a room, but I have been in a room where a heckler has had to be removed. But it's a lot easier to befriend someone than to attack.
Absolutely.
Like you'll catch more bees with honey than you will with vinegar. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. How do people react when you tell them what you do for a living?
it's different with a lot of people, like, but majority of the people, when they find out I'm a comedian, the first thing that they always ask is, of course, tell us a joke, which is which is sometimes inappropriate given the settings of where you are. Like it's the one job where someone will ask you to perform your working duties off duty. Like you never ask a lawyer to bid a case for you at a bar, would you?
No, you wouldn't.
And you would never ask a nurse to perform an injection either. But yeah, it's the one profession where people will openly just yell out, tell us a joke. But yeah, overall it's been great. Like I get a very nice warm welcome when people know what I do for a living. It's very interesting for conversations that like while I'm out or whatever. Sometimes I don't tell people, just giving whatever surroundings I'm around. But yeah, overall it's great.
Are there some topics that are completely taboo when it comes to your subject matter?
There are some frowned upon topics that you'd rather not speak about. Like you wouldn't talk about feminists in a crowd full of women. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And tasteless jokes like rape is off the cards as well. Like my job is to make people laugh, not to traumatize them. I don't hand out jokes for shock value.
Do you use a lot of bad language?
I wouldn't say a lot of bad language, and I wouldn't say bad language per se, but I do curse from time to time for dramatic effect, depending what it is that I'm trying to describe. But I don't unnecessarily swear, no.
Okay. I think I've grilled you sufficiently in the short time we've had together. Before I say goodbye, I will give you 2 minutes to convince our listeners that your show is the best thing on earth after COVID and that they would be really foolish to miss it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the state of WA does not lie. Numbers don't lie. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie. The turnout of the shows and the sold-out shows that we've had and the great reviews we've had is a testament that we are on the right path to changing the world one laughter at a time. You would be a fool to miss this show, but like I normally say, it's not my job to force you to want to laugh, but if you are in need of laughter, I am your guy.
Fantastic.
And I've got an awesome team to back that up as well. So, yes.
Excellent.
You'd be foolish to miss the show.
Well, you've sold me. Now, give us the date, time, and place of your show as well.
Okay, so this big show is at the Heath Ledger State Theatre on October 31st. That's Halloween night. Show starts at 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7. If you are coming to the show, get nice and early. The bars open at 7. Get yourself a nice drink, pick out your seat, and leave the rest to us.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Emo, for talking to us on the Perth Art and Entertainment website. I wish you all the best. And look forward to
thank you so much
to you
for having me as well.
About another
yeah, thank
great
you so
show.
Much for having me as well.
Thank you.
Absolutely,
goodbye.
Absolutely. You have a good day. Bye.
So there you have it, listeners.